Classic Country, 1450 AM and 103.5 FM KBBS. I'm Brady Safranik. This is Community Speaks, and it's being brought to you by The Prescription Shop on Fort Street in Buffalo. And joining me in studio today is Activities Director for Arvada Claremont, Mike Sowers. Mike, thanks for joining me today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're just going to talk a little bit today about athletics over at Arvada Claremont. You know, being one of the smaller schools in the area, you know, the sports you have, you're in class 1A, which is a smaller class. Do you ever find that sometimes it's hard to even field teams in any of the sports that that you offer?
Oh yeah, for sure. When I first started coaching out there a few years ago, we struggled to get kids to come out and play, and we four or five girls were playing basketball. But right now we've got almost every kid playing high school. We've got, what is there, 25 of our 38 high school kids are playing basketball. And then even the junior high kids, we've got 14 of our 15 girls are playing, and I think 12 of our 14 boys are playing. So we've got everybody that we can out playing.
Well, that's good, and that the people that are available are going out for the sports. You mentioned you know, some of those numbers in the early days of the girls' basketball with like five players maybe going out. That reminded me immediately of the movie Hoosiers, where he says it's going to be a lonely bench as he has like six players on his team.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and so that's good that you have the people there. There, the people that are there going out for the sports and filling some of those spots anyway. What do the teams look like so far this year? What can we say about the girls and boys basketball teams?
Oh, the girls are rocking and rolling. They we've got one senior, two juniors, and then a bunch of freshmen and sophomores, but they're pretty competitive. They're one of only two teams on the east right now with winning records. I think us and Rock River in the southeast, and we haven't really started any conference games yet. We played Hewlett, one of our conference teams, in a tournament early on, but it was like the second game of the year, and we were down big and then came back and made a game of it at the end, but it was kind of an eye-opener what we need to do. And then we've been in a bunch of preseason tournaments, and they've been doing well. We lost a game real close to Dubois the other day. And speaking of small schools, Dubois has five girls playing. And
so if one of them fouls out, do they have to play with four?
Yep, they
now,
do.
Now, would most schools, and I know they don't have to do this, but do you think most schools would go ahead and pull a player off and go four on four?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I've seen it a bunch of times where schools have done that. And I thought we might have to do it the other day because one of their posts went down with an ankle injury. And we kind of were like, well, is she going to play? She ended up finishing the game and still scoring points and getting rebounds and getting a bunch of block shots on us. But they were playing. But, yeah, for sure, we've seen games end four on four with one girl standing at half court kind of because the refs want her to stay on the floor since that's the rules. But we just say, you stay at half court. Don't worry about playing defense or offense.
That's
somebody
funny.
Gets tired, we'll switch you out with somebody
Here's a
else.
Chair. You can just sit down. Yeah. So, you know, you mentioned how many of the each grades you have on the team. Probably at the smaller schools, a lot of the underclassmen get a much better chance to play at the varsity level being, you know, say freshmen or sophomores due to numbers.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like the girls, we've got nine girls playing and they all play. So we don't really have a JV team. We try and get the bench players to come in and sub, and luckily they're all about the same talent, so they can get in and give people some breaks, and if we get in foul trouble, we don't really have any problems. And that's why I think we've been successful this year, is when we sub a girl out, we don't lose anything off a girl that's coming off the bench.
Yeah, and that's always nice, you know, because a lot of times, especially in the smaller schools, you might have, if you have a good team, you have like one player, maybe two players that are like, you know, your dominant players, and you try and feed them the ball all the time, that sort of thing. But then for defensive teams, then all they really have to do is try and key on that one player. They know they can't stop, but just kind of try and contain them a little bit. So it's nice to have a deep bench like that for a couple reasons. Number one, for those things I just said, they can't just key on one player. But it's also nice on the other side for the players that they all get playing time, that, you know, you don't have tryouts and then have to cut five or six girls that don't ever make the team. If you go out, not only are you going to make the team, but you're going to get some playing time.
Yeah, for sure. And then the boys, the opposite with them right now, we've got 13 boys playing, and at the 1A level, we're struggling to get JV games for those younger kids because we've got some freshmen that for sure aren't ready for the speed of the varsity game, and we're just trying to get JV games. So the Dubois games, we ended up just getting a half of JV for the freshmen, and I put them in the game as the JV coach, and I just say, well, you're not coming out, so if you need a break, I'll call a timeout because you five need to play because the rest of the team, the other eight, played the varsity game first.
And there's only a certain amount of quarters. Yep. Well, what's that number? Is it six?
Yep, six quarters.
Okay. So you got to watch that with the players that go both JV and varsity.
Yeah, we do. Well, on a day that we only have a half a JV, essentially everybody could play both games. But we do get a full JV game, then we make sure that we track, okay, once I sub this varsity player in to give kids a break, now I'm going to use him the whole quarter, and then he's done after that. So that way I don't worry about ineligibility because he played seven quarters or eight quarters.
So then, talking about some of the winter sports, you have girls and boys basketball. In the fall, do you have girls volleyball?
Yep, we have girls volleyball. Our boys co-op with Buffalo and come over here and play football.
Okay. And then in the springtime, track and field?
Yep, track, and we co-op with Buffalo for soccer as well.
Okay.
This year, our track programs are going to work real close together with Buffalo. We still, and I think we're the only school in the state that doesn't have a track yet.
Oh, okay.
So we come into Buffalo every day for practice, and our coaches work with Buffalo kids, and the Buffalo coaches are working with our kids. So we're kind of essentially one program with Buffalo. Even though we're separate 1A Claremont athletes competing now 1A times, we also, sure. We got a kid that wants to hurdle. They go down and work with Mr. Mater, and he does his hurdle workouts with them, and if Buffalo has throws kids, they work with Sarah and Ross Walker up in the throws pit. So,
and you say that you said you don't have a track yet. Is that on the horizon? Has there been talks?
There has for 2 years now. The state has talked about we have to get you a track, and I don't know if there's some law somewhere that says that we have to.
If you have a track team, you have to have a track.
Yeah,
that if it would make sense.
Yeah. But, of course, with everything that's going on with our budget crunch and school cuts and all that, I don't know how they'll make it happen. But they've sent a couple letters to us and some emails to the superintendent.
Tracks aren't cheap to put in.
Yeah. And what we'd be looking at is like a 3 or 4 lane dirt track, but it wouldn't be – we wouldn't be able to hold a meet, but we'd be able to practice. There'd probably only be – two straightaways that we could work on, some straightaway stuff, 100 hurdles and that type of stuff. And we've got the jump pits and the throw rings already. We just don't have a track.
So sure.
We run in the grass. We run on the road. If the weather's bad, otherwise we come to Buffalo and use their track.
Okay. And you know, with a school of your size, and this actually kind of blows my mind with every school in Wyoming, is funding the travel for sports, the amount of travel that teams have, you know, to because towns are pretty spread out here in Wyoming, especially towns, you know, the same size as whatever town it is you live in. And how do they fund that travel? How do they keep that going every year?
Well, what we do is we do everything together on one bus. That's the biggest way that we've been able to save. The boys and girls are on the same bus, and all the coaches are sitting in the middle. It's really, we try and get tournaments and games regionally, try and get into a tournament on this side of the mountain and the northeast area. We'll work with some JV teams from the 3A. We'll work with sophomore teams from 4A. So we don't have to necessarily drive all the way to Farson or all the way to Encampment to play a 1A team. Now, if the funding was perfect, we'd of course want to see them as that's going to be our competition at regionals and state. But we just can't right now.
Sure. And with the small schools having your own teams, we've been talking about, you know, some of the sports you kind of co-op here with Buffalo. I would imagine, and I'm looking for your perspective here as someone from the smaller school, you probably enjoy having some of your own sports and not having to co-op with another school for everything. Would that be accurate?
Oh yeah, it's the having our own sport, especially basketball in the winter. It's the event for our school and our community. We have a home basketball game, and our stands are packed because everybody can come into town, and they're able to visit about whatever. There's a basketball going on as well. And it's funny, I'll be sitting on the bench as the assistant coach, and I might put my 80 hat on for a minute and kind of peruse the crowd and make sure everything's going well. And you see half the crowd is visiting with each other about whatever they're talking about. And then the other half of the crowd is cheering on the kids. So it's definitely a community gathering. for having our sports events. It brings everybody in from their ranches into the town. And even in Claremont, we're two towns. We've got Arvada that's way out there, brings up all the Arvada folks into Claremont, and everybody gets to kind of visit. And our Greg Rohr, our business manager and chef, does a concession stands, and it's kind of an event all in itself, just being there and eating together.
Yeah, you know, and that is nice in small town settings that you have things like that, that people can go to a ball game, and instead of just watching the ball game, they're, you know, there to socialize and see people that, you know, they don't see each and every day.
Yeah,
that sort of thing. So, yeah, that's fun, and it's nice to have the smaller schools still get these sports and that sort of thing. You know, you and I were talking before we came on the air about six-man football and how some of the smaller schools here are able to participate in that, and it's even cool that they will completely tweak a game so that certain schools can still play that sport.
Yeah, we've talked about Ross Walker, our boys basketball coach. He's a big football guy. He's an assistant coach here in Buffalo, and he's talked about trying to get six-man football in Claremont. And we just, in the fall with hunting and the ranch work, we just can't get the kids to do it. And so that's why we in Claremont co-op with Buffalo, and the three or four or even five boys that are really committed to football come in and help Coach Hammond and the Buffalo Bison out.
Sure, absolutely. Talking with the activities director here, Mike Sowers with Arvada Claremont. Mike, I want to thank you so much for taking the time here this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. This is Classic Country, 1450 AM and 103.5 FM KBBS. Community Speaks being brought to you by The Prescription Shop, Fort Street in Buffalo.